So when you moved from Sand Mountain down here when you got the job.
That's correct. Moved from up close to Smith Crossroads. That's between Douglas and Boyer. That's between Ion and Douglas. We moved from up there to East Gadsden. And we've been living in East Gadsden since 1936.
Okay, back on World War II, what was the public opinion? Were most people, you know, I don't know what to say, gung ho? Were they all for the war effort, or was most of it mixed, or what was it around?
Well,
the workplace or whatever.
My opinion is that the nation had full, the war had full support of the United States and Britain especially. That we had full support of the war effort. And most of the able-bodied men went to war. I never went because of two things. I had a crippled ankle that I got hurt in the plant, and the other was that you had to keep so many out to build tires, truck tires. Cars, along there in 1943 and 2, 3, and 4, you couldn't buy a new car or a new truck. It had to go to the military.
That's another question about rations. What was a ration? How much?
All right, they rationed. I couldn't give you the exact amount,
yeah.
But depending on how far you drove to work and how many people you hauled in your car, they gave you coupons, gas coupons, and you use them coupons to buy your gasoline. Well, that's just like everything else. Some people got away too many, and some people didn't get near enough. Some of the farmers, they got fuel tickets to farm with. They got more than they needed, and some of their neighbors get them right down the road in the car. So it wasn't all 100%. That's what they called OPA, Office of Price Administration, and they handled all of the rationing and everything.
Okay. Well, as far as working, and did you brought up the tires? Did you know it increased production so much, or on the contracts with the government?
Before we got any war orders,
yeah.
Goodyear was working. When I went to work there, 1,400 men. I'll be right back. Maybe you can hear me. Working 1,400 men. And just before we started getting war orders, they laid off down to 200 men.
Okay.
Now when they laid off down to 200 men, that was before Goodyear started getting their war orders. But they come out here in East Gadsden and built a shell plant and started building shells for the Army out at Glencoe.
That's where the Goodyear warehouse is today, right?
Yeah, well, partially. That was part of it. And they also built a powder plant down at Childersburg. And most of the Goodyear employees that got laid off went out to the shell plant or down to Childersburg or to Talladega to the Bemis Bag powder plant. And most of those people, when Goodyear began to get tire orders for the Army, was able to come back to Goodyear. They let them come back with their seniority and everything. Most of them did. All of them did not. Some of them stayed. I think they called it something, Lowndes Shell Plant or something like that. I've forgotten the name. But many of the shell plant people and the powder plant people, people like that, was able to come back to Goodyear. And when we did start getting orders, we got so many orders we couldn't take care of them. I lived a half a mile from the plant, and they told me to come work when I got ready. And I I'd go in and work my regular shift, which was 11 at night till 7 in the morning. And I'd go home and sleep 4 hours and get up and go back. And we had never made any money. You never hardly made a living in Goodyear till that come along. And then everybody was hungry. Everybody wanted to work, and they did work. And then when we made our first money at Goodyear, even though it was one of the better places in the area to work, and you make more there than anywhere else, just 2 times 0, 0. And we didn't really make a living at Goodyear till World War II started, and we got all those orders, and we did well.
That's, you said the Local 12 first started in 1935.
Right.
And then was busted up by the company.
Right, company and so on.
And then it opened back up.
In 1943.
That's what year you joined, right?
Yeah, I'm a charter member of the 1943 reinstated charter. There's 18 names on that charter, and there's two of us living. Me and one more, J.L. Harris. Only two men out of the 18 that's living. Then we organized a trade union in 1951, and we had 7 charter members, and I'm the only living charter member of the Family Savings Federal Credit Union.
Okay. And then when you first joined the union, you were talking about the company being hostile. You seen men threw over the fence and such like and so forth.
There would be 4 or 5 guys. You know, they never give anybody a fair chance. There'd be 4 or 5 guys take after one guy. And if they caught him, they'd take him, throw him over the fence, kick his hind end. And one friend of mine named Bernice Cleveland, 5 or 6 people caught him in the parking lot. He signed a union card. That's all he done, signed a union card. When he got out of the car, they jumped on him, beat him nearly to death, and he lived up on Sand Mountain where I came from, and he never was able to come back to work. And it was that type of thing that we was confronted with. And even if you were not attacked, you were always felt unsafe. I carried a blackjack in my tool bag while I was working, not to jump on somebody, but for protection. I had a little tool bag about 12, 14 inches wide and long, and then there was a blackjack to defend myself with, not to fight nobody.
Did this, you know, you said in the parking lot, did it go on inside the workplace?
It went inside the workplace. Goodyear, one time, Rubber Workers International Union out of Akron let some organizers come down here and put up an office over in town to try to organize Goodyear workers. And Goodyear let a gang of thugs out of the plant, left them on the card and paid them while it was gone, while they went down there and beat them people up and throw the equipment out the window and one of the men out the window. And even the president of the International Union, S.H. Dalrymple, I saw the sheriff of Edgewall County and his deputies hold him while people beat him up while he was trying to make a speech at the old courthouse down here on Broad Street. That was in about 1938 or 9.
So the company tried to tried to make the union look like they were the thugs.
Right.
And in turn, they were the ones that were...
They were the thugs. And there's plenty of records. I can't identify them all. But one in particular, the LaFollette Committee, Senator LaFollette Committee, is in the archives, Department of Archives in Washington, tell this whole Gadsden story. And it tells on Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company. And the federal government had to get into it and order them to break up what they had organized. The company here had organized a company union, they call it Edgewall Rubber Workers. And the federal government had to break that up before we could ever get organized. So actually, well, it was the company.
When you were talking about 18 charter members in the union, so y'all were definitely outnumbered by company men when y'all...
I reckon so. just completely outnumbered, but we had an election, and it was supervised by the federal government. And when it did, we passed the vote by a 2-to-1 margin for the union. And that's when we organized in 1942.
So they more people voted for it, but they wouldn't join right off?
Well, when they voted for it, they joined it.
They did.
But they wouldn't join it ahead of time for fear they'd get themselves beat up and run off and lose their jobs. But now after they voted, when they had got a chance to vote secret ballot, where wouldn't nobody know who was voting for what, they was 2-to-1 and they wanted a union all the time, and they were scared to do anything about it.
This plant here, when it opened, how many others were there in the Goodyear plants that were open at that time?
How many other Goodyear plants?
Yes.
To best of my knowledge, there was three. One in Los Angeles, one in Akron, and one in Kelly Springfield. If there were others, I didn't know it.
Did y'all know, were they unionized at this time?
Akron plant organized first, and that's known as Local 2.
Local 2.
And Local 12 was the second.
Or the second one. So, did y'all get word? I mean, you know, did it go like, when they unionized it, is that, did it lead to y'all unionizing, or did y'all hear from Rio?
Well, of course we knew about it because it got international. Rubber Workers Headquarters is in Akron, Ohio, and so was Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company in Akron, Ohio. And the people that joined up there, some of them came down here and helped organize against it. The man named Jimmy Jones that was really here when we reorganized was just a little Banny Rooster out of Local 2. He was just cocky as he could be, and he wasn't afraid of nothing, and he gave a lot of people a lot of courage. A lot of people joined the union because Jimmy Jones wasn't afraid to walk down through the plant with a satchel in his hand. You know, to go fix some trouble somewhere.
Yeah. Let's see. And when did you become president of this local union?
1946.
And you were president of it until what year?
I was president 46 to 49, 50 to 59, 59 to 69. And I retired in 69. And during that period of time, so when we negotiated our pensions and insurance program, we got a program now that pays for all of our medicine. We don't have to pay for medicine. We get some pension. I was an older man, and I don't draw much pension, but I draw some. The people that's retiring now are drawing good pensions. And you see, if you could see me now, I'm on solid oxygen. And this oxygen is being furnished through the plan that was negotiated by the union. So that's the kind of thing that makes you realize who the villains were.
Yes.
Somewhere in some library, someplace, there is a book. The title of it is The Prospect Before Us, written by John Dawes Passos. That's a book of lectures. But there's two chapters in that book. One about the International Union, Rubber Workers Union, and one about the Skids and Wolf Union. And it's a world of information in it. Now, the book's out of print, but if you want to get a reference to that, Gene Howard, the public relations man for Goodyear Tire and Rubber Company, has got copies of it, and I'm sure they could be made available to you. Gene's a pretty nice fellow. I think he'd make it available to you. Not only that, but down at the Rubber Works Union Hall, they have two or three booklets on local union history that could be helpful, that they would be glad to give you. The 50th anniversary, incidentally, of the local union is this year. We'll have it Labor Day at the Falls in 1993. Be the 50th
anniversary of the labor.
Of Local 12.
Local 12.
Yeah.
With this, when you became president of the union in 46, and when you got out in 69, you were talking about the changes as far as like with medical plans and pensions, how much they changed. Did you ever, when you first came president in 46, did you ever dream that